Hello, everybody. Cal Banion here, Cal Banion's Hypnosis, etc. And we're back again with L. Ron Ferguson. If you're watching this video anywhere else except CalBanion.com, you want to go there now? Because right below this video is all additional text and graphics and links and stuff like that, which will make your enjoyment of this episode much, much better. Let me tell you about L. Ron. L. Ron's a true one percenter. And I tell you what, he's going to make quite a dent in this profession. To know what he knows as a young man like he is, boy, I tell you what, one day he's going to be writing books and doing stuff and being famous around the world. Although some people think he's already famous around the world. I was just talking to his mom the other day, and she thinks he's famous around the world. All kidding aside, L. Ron, if I had someone that was in Orange County and needed to see a hypnotherapist, I would absolutely recommend that they go see you. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal.
That was easy.
I'm going to suffocate to death from all the laughter. Talking to his mom the other day. Leave her alone.
I was just kidding.
I know.
I haven't talked to your mom in a couple of months.
Nice. Yeah, exactly, right? I got to keep the smart remarks inside. Just keep them inside, push them down, let them out later.
Just remember, your mother may see this someday.
Exactly. Who knows?
Or your father's.
Oh, God. Who knows who could be watching this, Cal?
That's right.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer, right?
All right.
Well, Cal, thanks for such a fabulous introduction. You certainly do have a much higher energy level on this second episode than you did the first one. I don't know if I can keep up anymore. I think I already blew it out to begin with. Cal, you've really given me everything, and thank you for everything you've taught me on how to be a one percenter in this business. I mean, the process that we do using 5-Path with a systematic approach, we couldn't do it without Cal, so kudos to that.
Awesome. Hey, you know what? I'm thinking about, I went on a beautiful bicycle ride this morning. My little 30-mile ride, do that a couple times a week, and then on the weekend I do my big ride. And right now, last Saturday, I signed up for the Amtrak Century Ride. And that's a 100-mile ride from Irvine to San Diego, California. And I'm here right in front of everybody, the whole world, challenging you, L. Ron, to do that ride with me.
When is it again?
September 11th.
September 11th. That's right after I turn 30.
Ah, so there you go. So then it'll help you to feel young. You think, even though I'm 30 years old, I can get on this bicycle, which you probably don't even have yet, and ride 100 miles. Then party with the old guy.
Ask me again when I'm in hypnosis. Maybe I'll be more suggestible.
All right, so you're chickening out in front of the whole world?
No comment, Your Honor.
Okay. Oh, boy. I'm not a very good recruiter. I've got, one guy who's going to ride with me.
You are the best recruiter. Come on,
I've been recruiting for months. I've put it on Our Hypnospace. I've put it on Yahoo groups. And nobody wants to ride. I even started a new group on Our Hypnospace called The Fit Hypnotist. And it's dedicated to getting all those kind of, tired and maybe a little bit overweight hypnotists to start getting in shape. But I think the group has one member in it, and that's me.
Oh. It's okay. I'll help you recruit.
But you won't do the ride yourself.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
I'll
check up on you next episode.
I know.
All right, man.
There's no escape for me. I can't run fast enough.
Jeez, a lean, athletic-looking guy like you, you should be able to just in your sleep.
Just blow on me and I'll go.
Oh, what if the wind's blowing the wrong way?
Uh-oh. Well, I'll just cut right through the wind.
All right. How about a hypnosis topic? You got one for me?
I do. Well, we were going to continue with that question that we left on a cliffhanger last episode.
Okay.
And that is a question about a client calls up. He's asking about, well, I hear voices, and they're making it so I can't sleep. And the voices don't tell me to do anything, but they just really, really bother me. What would be your approach with a client like that, Cal?
Well, I would wonder if he has, really thin walls. He's got to stop staying at the no-tell hotel.
Exactly. He's been hearing these voices his whole life. He's like, well, I've done research that it's in the white noise, and some people hear voices there.
Oh, okay. So what I would say is, have you seen a mental health professional about that? Because, being a hypnotist does not mean that you are qualified. I'm just telling you guys that because you're a hypnotist or a hypnotherapist doesn't mean you're qualified to work with people with mental illness. And if someone is hearing voices, people talking to them when there's nobody there, then that is an indication that you are not qualified to work with that person. And then I would simply tell the person, and you know what? You know, I have a master's degree in psychology. I would be willing to state that, I'm qualified to work with that person, but I still wouldn't because I've been out of that field of working with mentally ill people for a long time, and that used to be my specialty, adults with serious mental illnesses. And I would probably tell the person that we need to contact your, it's kind of different. It depends on your background. Now, I do have training in psychology, and I would be willing to work with that individual if I was part of the individual's treatment team, which means most people who have serious mental illness, like schizophrenia, where you would hear voices, be delusional or having auditory hallucinations, they have a treatment team. They have a social worker, they have a psychologist, they have a psychiatrist, and perhaps other people that work with them. And you really need to work as part of a team. Because in my experience, and I do have some experience with this, working with people who carry the diagnosis of schizophrenia or other thought disorders are going to get worse before they get better. And a lot of times they just won't get better with regard to working with them with hypnosis. So what that means is someone who's living independently or semi-independently, you start getting in there doing hypnosis, and chances are they're going to do what mental health professionals call decompensate. And they're going to become more symptomatic, and they could wind up in the hospital, for a period of time while they get everything worked out to where they can be more independent again. And so I highly recommend that you don't work with them. Tell them that you're not qualified to work with someone that has that symptom and that they need to talk to their mental health professional, like their doctor, psychiatrist, or psychologist, to get a referral to someone who is qualified. But on the other hand, so there's two ways to go. One is just tell them you're not certified, you're not qualified to work with someone that has that symptom. And then the other is if you have some training, education, or licensure to work with, mental health issues, then what you want to do is you want to get the doctor's name and phone number and talk to them about working with them, kind of getting the referral or becoming part of their treatment team. Is that what you're looking for, Elron?
Exactly what I'm looking for, Cal. Although I was just thinking of something. What if they tell you, well, you know what, I had it checked out by the shrink, and people unilaterally tell me that, no, I do not have schizophrenia.
Yeah, well, if they're hearing voices, and it's not because, they're living in a place that has walls that are too thin. I mean, if they're really hallucinating voices, then from my perspective, unless you're asking me something I'm not aware of, I'd, recommend that the hypnotist flatly state to them that, I'm not diagnosing you with schizophrenia. I'm just telling you that someone who has that symptom needs to undergo hypnosis, if they choose to have it, with someone who is, licensed or whatever, appropriate for where this work could be done. Some countries it's licensed, it might be certified in other countries and that kind of thing. But I just say, I'm just not going to do it unless I'm part of the treatment team, that you are just getting the work, or I won't do it at all, and you get the work done by someone who is properly trained, licensed, or otherwise prepared to do that kind of work. How's that? Were you thinking about something else, Elron?
Nope, that's it. Thanks, Cal.
You know me, I'm very stubborn.
No.
Very set in my ways.
No.
That's
really?
What happens when you turn 70. You start thinking in ways where you just... Actually, I shouldn't make fun of people who are 70 because I'm almost, that's not that far away from me. In November I turned 55 years old.
And wow. I think,
hey, you know, there's some kind of magic year, I think it is. I was born in 55, and I'm going to be 55. So that's like your golden diamond platinum year or something like that. Maybe someone will leave a little comment below and tell me what that means. All right, what else you got for me?
How about another question?
Okay.
Let's just do another question. How about this? I got this question off of the group, and it's a question from Jeffrey Goodman, who had a client. He goes, "Hi, I had a client come in and abreact during the age regression since it was a rape situation. He got out of the situation, and in the end, she felt much better seeing how strong she was to get through the traumatic event. But he had to do something he's talking about. He had to fade the scene and do it like through fast forward because it was too much for the client to handle." Okay, and he wondered if there was, this is a two-part question, by the way, if there was a way to get her through that besides fast forward. The second part of the question is, you know, another thing came to the mind he was concerned about with the forgiveness aspect of the process.
Okay, let's just do one part at a time.
Yeah, do one part at a time.
Because I'll forget the second part anyway.
Sure.
So did he say what this client came in for?
No.
Did he say whether or not this rape was an ISC or an SSC or an SPE?
No.
Good. Please give everybody a quick little definition of ISC, SPE, and SSE.
Good. The ISC is where the problem started during hypnotic age regression therapy. We follow the feeling back and really find the total beginning seed causal relationship to what created the, you know, problem of all the emotional resonance. A SSE is a subsequential sensitizing event that reinforces the fears and misconceptions that were occurring in the ISC. And an SPE is where the problem, the symptom, behavior, or feeling manifested in their life when the annoyance became obvious to them. So, for instance, somebody might have their first panic attack at 22. And they go, yeah, it all started when I was 22, driving down the street, I started having panic attacks. But, of course, the cause of that problem is somewhere else. Is that what you're looking for, Cal?
Yes. And as a review, ISC is initial sensitizing event. It was the event that started the problem. SPE is subsequent symptom-producing event, which is the event where the actual, you know, problem or belief or symptom or habit actually started, and then subsequent sensitizing event. These are a number of events that can happen after the ISE, which reinforce, perpetuate the problem in some way, and they will typically have either something in common with the ISE, such as an emotion or a thought or a belief, that kind of thing. Good. So we don't know if this rape incident, which was uncovered in regression, was which of those it was. Now, if the client comes in and says, it all started back when I was raped, that's probably an SPE, symptom-producing event. See, the client saying, this is the event that produced the problem. It all started when? And so that is not the ISE, initial sensitizing event. So we will usually do most of the work at the ISE, the initial sensitizing event. Why? Because that's going to change what they're thinking and what they're feeling, both in the beginning of the problem and as they have the symptom-producing event. So, but the question to me is there a way to get the individual through the event that's, you know, not so painful or traumatic? And I'd say yes and no. First of all, when we're doing the regression and we're moving back in time, like here's now, and we're moving back to these different events, you know, maybe they're 40 now, and we go back to a time when they're 20, and then, you know, 18, and 12, and 10, and 5, and stuff like that. They are in what's called the associated state, which means they're revivifying, they're reliving the event. And we really want them to be reliving the event because that's where we're going to get the most accurate report of what's happening, what they're thinking, and what they're feeling. If they're not in that, associated state, which means reliving it, it's as if it was happening all over again, then they will tend to be in the remembering state. And the remembering state is not going to give you as accurate a perception of what was going on, what they were thinking, and what they were feeling compared to when they are reliving it. Re-experiencing the event, rethinking what they thought. You know, there they are going through that holodeck of the mind. You know, kind of like in Star Trek: The Next Generation, they had that holodeck room where they could make it look like anything. You could go to the beach in that room. You could ride a horse in that room because it's just like a hologram. Now, but in the mind, we're able to create these kind of holographic experiences, which are hallucinations of the past. So we go back, they relive the event, they rethink what they thought before, and they refeel what they felt before. This is very important with regard to finding out what was going on and whether or not the event you're at is a symptom-producing event, a subsequent sensitizing event, or an initial sensitizing event. So we want to find the ISC. So when they're going backwards in time, we want them to be in the associated state. Now, after we've done the work of informing them about, you know, for example, we might say, boy, it'd be nice if you knew then what you know now, and we can have the adult with the coaching of the hypnotist or hypnotherapist give them information from the point of hindsight or from a more objective viewer's position, and we're able to change really give them what they wish they would have known then. And then they can go through the event again. Now, there's no sense in, if it's really a traumatic, painful event, to have them relive it more than necessary. And in my opinion, it's necessary to have them relive it one time during the regression. But while they're doing the moving back forward, you know, they're going back, here they are, they're 40, and then they're 30, and then they're 20, and they're 15, they're going on back to the ISC. When we're going the other way, and we're bringing them back to the present, running through the ISC, the SSC, or SPE, all the way up to now, it's best if those can be done in the associated state, reliving it. But if it's too painful, like, for example, not just something, you know, not to diminish it all, but not exclusively a rape, for example, but maybe it's someone was being burned or tortured or otherwise a very painful experience. There's no sense of having them hallucinate and re-experience that pain. So we do the disassociated state. And so what I would do is, let's say the individual was 17 when this rape occurred. And we've gone back, we've fixed the ISC. Now we've got to bring that knowledge, that wisdom, that knowing, and that change of emotion. Like maybe now she's going to be more confident about herself. Now she's going to know that she's not, if she had the thought, oh, he's going to kill me, and then we find out later from the adult that she didn't get killed, and now we can tell that 17 who's about to go through that event, you're going to go through this event, but you're not going to die. You can see how that would drop the anxiety or the fear about the event. So at this point, we tell them, okay, 17, we give them whatever information she needs to know to get through it without being negatively affected by it. And then we say, a moment, count from 1 to 3, and it happens all over again. And I go, 1, 2, 3, and I'll say, be grown up. You're reporting, you're watching what's going on, what's happening. And then I'll have grown up report what 17 is thinking, what 17 is feeling, and report on the changes that have been accomplished because of this informing technique that we did. And we can also find out if we did enough work previous to that time so as to shift the emotions and the beliefs, what she was thinking as she went through the event, so that it's more in line with reality. For example, I said, she doesn't die. We know this because grown-ups there in my office seeking services, so we know that when she was 17, she didn't die. So if she's going through the event, rape, and she thinks, oh, I think he's going to kill me, then obviously we didn't do enough informing. And grown-up in observing mode can just report. You know, I can say, grown up, what is she thinking? Grown up, what is she feeling? Now, just for you guys, if you haven't been through any kind of age regression training, I will typically call the person who's in the aspect of the client who's in the regressed state, I'll call them by their age. So I would be saying, okay, 17, what's happening? But when I'm talking to the grown-up adult aspect of the client, I'll say, grown-up. So I'd say, okay, grown-up, what's happening now with 17? And she can tell me then what's going on. So I really prefer that to the more NLP technique of running through it fast forward and that kind of stuff, because you really don't have the ability to garner all the details about what the individual is thinking and feeling while they're going through the event. So I prefer just to have the adult go into the reporter's role of just reporting what's going on. Does that help out, Elron?
It helps out a lot, Cal.
Cool. Anything you want to add?
No. How can I add anything to that? Come on.
Well, you know, I could go on and on and on, so I figured you could throw in one or two things.
No, I'm just sitting over here taking notes. I mean, the dissociated state is so important with stuff like that, because it's kind of like drinking Drano and throwing it up, you know? Why would you want to be burned twice? Right?
Exactly. Good. And you know what? When you do disassociated work, when you're coming back to this time, they tend to forget about the pain they went through when they went through the associated state. And if it was a real painful event and you keep running them through it over and over again, what that can do is cause clients to not come back because they'll associate too much pain with
right.
it. You know, on the subject, it used to be in the olden days of age regression work, that's what they would do before really the understanding that you could do what we call the informed child technique, and which is where you take someone before the event and give them the information they need so they can go through it without being negatively affected by it. What they would simply do, for example, during the time of World War I and right afterwards, there was this thing that soldiers would come back with, and was called shell-shocked. And now we call it post-traumatic stress disorder. And there was some psychiatrists and psychologists of the day that were starting to use age regression hypnosis to do that, to work with it. But it was really the early days of understanding how that was helpful. And rather than going back to before the event and informing them what they need to know, for example, you don't die, which would make the experience a lot less frightening and a lot less traumatic compared to thinking, oh no, I'm going to die. What they would do is they would just take the person back to the event over and over again in the associated state. And in the beginning, the first time through, it's like, oh no, oh, I'm going to die. And then, you know, just scared almost to death. And then they would run them through it again. And each time they did it, it would bleed off some of that emotion. And at each time they did it, they would learn at the subconscious level, oh, I'm not going to die. And so the second time they run through it, it's like, oh, no, I'm going to die. And they do it, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 14 times. And they run it through them. And they go, okay, oh, here comes the bomb. But now I know I'm not going to die. So just through repetition, but it was very painful, obviously, to relive this traumatic experience over and over again. So now we do the informed child technique, and it just works a whole heck of a lot better. Good.
Yeah, it's all about changing those cognitions. I mean, that's something that a lot of people just don't get. It's the thought that creates the feeling. Okay, I was reminds me, I saw a practitioner a few years back or something like that, and you know, they go, oh no, thoughts are thoughts and feelings are feelings. Feelings don't have any words. Feelings are just feelings, and that's just really quite stupid, really, because it's the cognitions. It's what meaning is assigned to the perceptions. It's what those little thoughts are either in that little mind or in that big mind that are causing the feelings to become assigned to it and are creating the emotion in the first place. And so when we do informed child technique, we're not just bleeding off catharsis. Okay, catharsis as a standalone for therapy really doesn't do anything unless it's added with insight. And so creating those shifts in cognitions immediately takes care of the emotions that are bleeding into the moment from the past, period.
Absolutely right. I'm going to say one more thing, and then we're going to wrap it up unless you got something else to say.
That's it.
But I mean, you're totally right on. You guys read The Secret Language of Feelings, A Rational Approach to Emotional Mastery. Put a link below, and you'll get an idea of what L. Ron's talking about. But I remember I went to this fancy schmancy University of Minnesota held kind of conference on hypnosis. And one of the guest speakers, he talked about one of his favorite techniques for getting rid of anger. And he put people in hypnosis and then have them imagine blowing all that anger into a big red balloon and then letting loose that balloon and watching it float away. And, you know, gosh, that's going to make someone feel better for a little while. But the cognition, the belief, whatever it is inside the subconscious mind is still generating the belief. And so it's going to regenerate the anger, and then whatever behaviors they're involved in that are hurting them as a result of carrying that anger around, it could be a health problem, or it could be drinking too much, smoking too much, any of the too much behaviors. Gosh, it's just going to come back. And then what happens? People think hypnosis doesn't work, but it does. Properly applied hypnosis will change lives. And if you're the hypnotherapist, the 1% are doing it, you're going to have a very satisfying and fulfilling career. All right, L. Ron, wrap it up.
All right, there is no better feeling than actually helping someone's perception shift so that they can experience a different feeling on a regular basis in their life with issues that used to be a problem. If you want to learn how to do that, check out our schedule at hypnosiscenter.com or look at our products at hypnosis.org if you want to learn just a few key things that will help send your practice to the next level for yourself and for your clients. See you next episode. I'm L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
All right. Thank you, L. Ron. This is Cal Banyan. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. I want to tell you what, our courses always have early enrollment discount. So if you're thinking about taking the course in 6 months, go there, take advantage of the early enrollment. Also, go to hypnosis.org. I've got a special video there. I don't know how long it's going to be up. If you're watching this in the year 2030, it's probably not going to be up anymore. But right now, I've got a Learn to Hypnotize video up there. Go there, sign up, get it, and you'll learn how to do the Elman-Banyan induction, a rapid induction. And I've got some other cool stuff for you, too. All right, Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.